These third grade students in Rapid City recite the pledge at the beginning of every day.
I think we were like a lot of schools. You know, we saw the whole situation that was happening in Sioux Falls.
Rapid City Superintendent Tim Mitchell says the district does not yet have a policy, but after the Sioux Falls controversy, he advised principals that their schools, including the high school, had to make time for the pledge.
Right away, we checked out to see what we were doing. And very happy to see that we were doing the pledge in most of our elementaries, almost all of our elementaries on a daily basis. We were doing it at the middle schools, but we were not doing it at the high school.
The U.S. Supreme Court decided in 1943 that students cannot be compelled to say the pledge. Mitchell says he doesn't know how teachers advise students that the pledge is optional.
I just, told the individual principals to make sure and communicate with the teachers, make sure that people did understand that the exemption is available, because we legally do not want to force anybody to do it. You know, that's part of being an American, is having the rights to do certain things.
And to the republic for which it stands.
Each school district shall provide students the opportunity to salute the United States and the flag each day by reciting Pledge of Allegiance.
State Representative Hal Wick reads from the bill he intends to introduce in this year's legislative session.
A student may choose not to participate in the salute to the United States and the flag. However, a student who does not participate in the salute shall maintain a respectful silence during the salute.
Because the statute gives children the option to stand down, Wick says his proposed legislation is legal.
But it is the opportunity for them all to learn to respect the nation that's given them the freedoms to do everything that we can do in this country. And I think that if we let that fall by the wayside, if we don't try to instill some kind of an appreciation for what this country is, then it would go away.
One nation under God, indivisible.
This nation was not so indivisible in the early 1940s.
Jehovah's Witnesses, one of their churches was burned down in Kennebunkport, Maine. The same group were lynched in West Virginia.
Retired Professor John W. Baer wrote the book, The Pledge of Allegiance, A Revised History and Analysis. Jehovah's Witnesses said their beliefs did not allow them to aver allegiance to anything except God. But in 1940, the High Court initially ruled that they could be compelled to recite the pledge, and the citizens of 44 states took it upon themselves to do the compelling. As a result, nearly 1,500 witnesses were beaten, shot, and tortured. A crowd in Illinois pulled a witness from his car, put a flag on the hood, and then beat his head against the flag. In Norfolk, Nebraska, vigilantes castrated a witness.
Another problem back in 41 was, you see, the students gave the Nazi salute.
John Baer says the stance children were required to take while pledging was really called the Bellamy salute, after Francis Bellamy, the author of the Pledge of Allegiance. Kids held their right arms straight out, palms up, toward the flag.
That's one reason, I guess, Jehovah's Witnesses were particularly upset, because Hitler went after them in Germany. And so they were well aware of what the Nazi salute was all about.
Baer says Francis Bellamy was a Baptist minister and a strong socialist.
And he believed that Jesus was a socialist. And he preached that in his church in Boston, and then he was asked to cut it out.
The original fight to require children to recite the pledge was led by a racist group, part of the Ku Klux Klan.
Michael Fenner is a constitutional law professor at Creighton University. He says before the U.S. Supreme Court reversed its position in 1943, children and their parents faced strong sanctions for not saying the pledge.
The early statutes had an or else, including that the kids could be declared juvenile delinquents and they could be sent off to juvenile jail, and they could even be, in some cases, removed from the home of the parents.
That 1943 decision still stands today. Schools can offer the opportunity to say the pledge, but children have the right to remain silent. Fenner says that solution has drawbacks.
Some people complain that that's not a very good alternative because of the way it singles out the child who doesn't recite the pledge and holds that child up to perhaps ridicule or bullying.
That's a hazard understood by Sioux Falls school board members. When their initial decision to stick with their practices made national news, they received death threats. After that, they extended the pledge to the high schools. In Rapid City, School Superintendent Tim Mitchell says he also received a flurry of emails. Some of them were nasty, but some relayed the history of the pledge. Mitchell says it's up to teachers to decide whether to pass this history along to the students. And it's up to teachers to decide whether they themselves want to recite the pledge along with the children.
With liberty and justice for all.
For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.